Please turn with me once again to the Gospel according to Mark. Mark chapter 5. We shall read from verse 35. Mark chapter 5 at verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. When he was come in, he saith unto them, "Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, "Talitha kumi," which is being interpreted, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Amen. We have already considered something to do with this wonderful event that we now learn the conclusion of. This man, Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, and his daughter, perhaps his only child, grievously ill, indeed at the point of death. We might say a hopeless case as far as man is concerned. But we see with Jairus one who feared God and had a certain faith in Jesus, and he made a plea to Jesus, "Come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed." And there was faith in that. His confidence was this: if Christ would do what he asked of him, then his daughter would live. Jairus would indeed receive the reward of his faith. But as we've noted, only after it had been tried, and we might say tried greatly. And we shall see that as we consider these verses. That is a lesson for us all. Peter tells us that faith will be tried. True faith will be tried. If you just have an historical faith, as we call it, a belief in the facts that are presented in the Bible, that faith will not particularly be tried. It isn't saving faith. It does not bring you any benefits of a lasting kind. If you have saving faith, that faith which is the gift of God and the work of the Spirit in your soul, it will be tried. And that can be a difficult thing, and something that causes the Lord's people much concern, anxiety, even grief. But there is a reward, a blessing. The trying of your faith, being much more precious than of gold which perisheth, well, it shall be found unto glory and honour at the day of Jesus Christ. In considering this passage, we shall take the three words of Christ we find in it. During the trial of Jairus' faith, Christ spoke three times, and on each occasion there was encouragement for Jairus, the encouragement he needed as his faith was tried. And that may be your experience as a child of God. You have faith in the Lord, and your faith is tried. And if you were left to yourself altogether, well, you would sink in that trial. But the Lord has a word for you. There's a promise of Scripture, perhaps, and it speaks to you, and it holds you up, even in your trial. And the first of these three words is this: Christ's word to Jairus, and we have it in verse 36. He saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Few short words, but full of significance. Much help there for Jairus as his faith is tried. The Lord had gone with Jairus, making their way to Jairus' house. But there had been a delay. There was this crowd, this great crowd, thronging Christ and delaying their progress. And we wonder at Jairus' thoughts when that happened. No doubt he was upset. Time was of the essence. They needed to get to his daughter as quickly as possible. But this delay was turned by the Lord to the good of Jairus. As we noted last time, in that crowd was a woman. A woman who had an issue of blood, and she'd had it for 12 years. Years. Interestingly, the same age as Jairus' daughter, 12 years of age. And what did this woman do? Well, seizing her opportunity, she drew near to Christ and she touched his garment. And the Lord was aware that virtue or power had gone forth from him, and he turned around and he looked to see who had touched his garment. And the woman, knowing that she could not be hid, well, she came to Christ, she fell at his feet, and the Lord spoke kindly to her. And she had been healed of her hemorrhage. Jairus was there, and he saw it, and he heard the word of Christ. And that strengthened his faith. Seeing how the Lord could help that woman, well, surely the Lord could help him and help his daughter. But then there was a cruel blow. We're told in verse 35, it came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? There was the blow. Your daughter is dead. She's dead. But more cruel than that were the words that followed. Why troublest thou the master any further? You see what they were saying? Do not bother him. There's no point. Your daughter is now dead. That is the end of the matter. And yet Christ was his only hope. He had put his trust in Christ. He made the request. Christ was now going with him to his house, and those who came from the house were saying, do not proceed any further. It is hopeless. Your daughter is dead. And yet the Lord intervened once again. The kindness of Jesus Christ was seen. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Before that unkind word from the lips of those who came from his house could have that effect, distressing him further, casting him down, defeating him as it were, in terms of his plea and pursuing that plea, the Lord Jesus spoke to him and words of reassurance. Be not afraid. Do not fear. Things may look dark. Things may seem impossible. But do not fear. Only believe. And that is a remarkable thing. Only believe. Time and time and time again, Scripture in effect is saying that to us. It's saying it to the Lord's people. It's saying it in the gospel to those who are unconverted. Only believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. There's the gospel promise. Salvation in Christ alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone. But the word speaks to the believer. Only believe. You know what it is to trust in me. Continue trusting in me. That is the meaning here. Continue to trust. By ourselves, according to our own strength, faith often goes very low, does it not? And we're just trying to hold on. We're just clinging to Christ and clinging to the Word of God. But that is what we must do. Only believe. And even if our faith appears to us to be very small indeed, if it is true faith, if we have that union with Christ by faith, then we are in the way to receive the Lord's blessing. We may say that great faith honors the Lord more, and we should seek, by God's grace, the increase of our faith. But even little faith, if it is active, if it is taking the Lord at his word, that may obtain God's blessing. And when Jesus said to Jairus, be not afraid, only believe, he was in effect saying this to Jairus, that he was able to raise the dead. Jairus' daughter had now died. And yet, in no way did that deter the Lord Jesus. In no way did that change Christ's attitude with regard to Jairus and his sad situation with respect to his daughter. This was all of the Lord. And we saw that in our reading in John chapter 11. With Lazarus, Christ did not go immediately at the request of the family to be with Lazarus, who was sick. Christ remained where he was. Lazarus died. Only after days did the Lord go to that home. That was according to divine purpose. That was in order that the miracle of raising Lazarus would take place. And it would be a manifest miracle, because everyone knew that Lazarus had been dead for those 4 days. And here is the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the divine will, Jairus' daughter has now died. And yet Christ is saying, be not afraid. Only believe. Believe in me and who I am and what I am able to do. Very much as Christ spoke to Martha in John chapter 11. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? That was his word to Martha. It was his word to Jairus. It is his word to us here today. Believest thou this? Only believe. Faith in Christ is required of us all. And faith in Christ is the way to divine blessing. Christ's word to Jairus. But then we have Christ's word to the mourners in verse 39. Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And there may seem to be some difference between what Christ is saying here and what we know to be the case concerning Jairus' daughter. Damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. Christ has taken with him 3 of his disciples, Peter, James, and John. He sometimes did that. He took those 3 in particular with him and left the others behind. Christ, of course, is making his way to the house of Jairus. And on the way, they begin to hear the sound of weeping and wailing coming from Jairus' house. Of course, Jairus is with them, and he hears it too. And that tried him. It tried him greatly. This sad, mournful sound coming from his own home. And he knows the reason for it. It's in respect of his daughter. His only child. She has died. The family are there. And they're beginning to grieve. And their friends and neighbors have come to comfort them. It is possible that there were also mourners present. It was the custom in the East that mourners would be hired in order to express the grief of the bereaved. And this loud wailing, almost howling, would be going up. In a very sort of emotional, expressive and heartfelt way. And as Christ and the disciples and Jairus come closer to the house, the distress of the people could now be seen by them. There was this tumult, this mass of people, and they were obviously in great trouble, emotional trouble, overcome with grief, and not knowing how to console each other. And we're told that Christ entered the house. And Christ then spoke, and he spoke to those who were mourning. And he spoke firstly in this way, "Why make ye this ado and weep?" And we wonder at that. And we imagine that those who were in the midst of such grief and such distress would have been annoyed that Jesus should speak in that way. "Why make ye this ado and weep? What, is it not natural? Do you not understand? Do you not realize the loss? This young girl has died. And our hearts are so heavy. And so our tears and our grief." Those words annoyed those who were present. But what Christ then said angered them. "The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." Now Christ spoke those words calmly and sincerely and truthfully, because there is a sense in what Christ says here which makes everything plain, and that sense will be grasped by the mourners shortly. "The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." Well, she has died, but she will not remain in the state of death. It is as though she is sleeping. The mourners, in their grief, felt that Christ was making light of their loss, making light of it. He was giving them a false hope. Now, we believe that Jairus had faith in God. We're not told anything about his wife or wider family. We do not know regarding friends and neighbors who had come to the house to mourn with those who were bereaved. Perhaps they were unbelieving and ungodly. But that is how they received the words of Christ. They were disturbed by them. They were upset. They were angry. They felt that the Lord Jesus Christ, saying what he did, was not being sensitive, sympathetic, anything but. We're told that they mocked him. They laughed him to scorn. They ridiculed him. No doubt they said all sorts of things to him, against him. No doubt nothing kind was said by them to Jesus. Christ often received mockery from men. There were those who were his sworn enemies, the scribes and the Pharisees, They were often more subtle in the way that they dealt with Christ. They had an agenda against him. They wanted to ensnare him. They used subtlety. But some among them, and many others, mocked and scorned the Lord Jesus. They regarded him as simply a man, and his claims were false. In no way was he the Son of God. And the boasting that those who followed him and believed in him made in his name, and the trust they had in his power, this was all a fraud to them. And they believed that Jesus was a deceiver. Well, something of that, no doubt, was in these mourners. But we remember Jairus is there. And how does Jairus see things? Well, he is grieved. He has suffered loss. The keenest grief. The sorest loss. But he listens to Christ. He hears what Jesus has to say to the mourners. And he hangs upon the words that Christ speaks. The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And Jairus hangs on to these words, though what he sees and what he hears around him, these things seem contrary to what Christ has said. And this is faith. This is the faith of God's people. We're told in the Corinthians, we walk by faith and not by sight. We look upon the things that are unseen, not the things that are seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Again and again, that is how faith is described. And you have to examine yourself in light of that. You say you have faith. Is it the faith of which we are speaking? Is it the faith that can receive this word from Jesus Christ? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. Even though there is a body there, and mourners there, even though they are mocking Christ, scorning him, you take Christ's part. You hang on to his word. You believe what Christ says, what Scripture says, even though it may go against all the evidences presented to your senses. That is saving faith. The faith of God's elect. That is the faith we need. And that faith will be tried as Jairus' faith was tried. The third and final word is this, Christ's word to Jairus' daughter. Verse 41. He took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Christ now put everyone out of the house, except the parents, and they went to the room where the girl's body lay. And Christ took her by the hand. You remember the request that Jairus had made. And Christ is indeed now fulfilling it. Come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. So Christ does indeed take her by the hand. And then he utters the most remarkable word of all. He is speaking to someone who has died. And he says, Talitha kumi, Talitha kumi. And that is in Aramaic. And Aramaic was a language very similar to Hebrew and spoken by the people in Judea. And Mark gives us the interpretation of those two words. Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Words addressed by Jesus Christ, the Lord of life, to one who has died. And what happens? Well, straightway, says Mark, it's a favorite term of his, straightway, immediately, the damsel arose and walked. She rose from the bed upon which she was lying. She walked, and soon afterwards, she was given food to eat. Remarkable words and a remarkable effect. The power of those words, how shall we describe it? This is the hand of God. This is God's mighty power. This is the power that is able to raise the dead. And Jairus is there. Jairus, who put his trust in Jesus. Jairus, who made the request in faith. Jairus, whose faith was tried, greatly tried. Tried by the delay, tried by the word that came, the daughter is dead. By the word that told him not to bother the Lord anymore. Tried when he heard the weeping and wailing coming from his own house, knowing the meaning of it. And tried when he beheld those who were present. The tumult, the distress, the inconsolable grief. But he trusted in the Lord. He continued trusting in the Lord. This was God's enabling. That faith is the work of the Spirit within the soul. We use the means. And we have the means of the Word of God. We said, here are Christ's three words. He speaks on three occasions. Jairus hears all of these words from the lips of Christ. And Jairus believes them. He believes them. When those around are perhaps treating those words with disdain and contempt, and they reject them, nothing has changed. The Bible has not changed. The God who is revealed in the Bible has not changed. What think ye of Christ? Is he the Son of God? The Son of the living God? Certainly. That was Peter's confession. That's the confession of the church. And the Lord's people in every generation. Thou art the Christ, the anointed of God, the Son of the living God, the only begotten Son of the one true God of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ. God and man, prophet, priest and king, the only Redeemer and Saviour. And we believe that in Jesus Christ is all the power of God. And what Christ did on that occasion and would do on other occasions, he is in various ways able to do even in the present. Jairus received the reward of his faith. A gracious reward. It always is, because we deserve no good thing from the Lord. But we are encouraged to seek God's face. And he never says to us, seek ye my face in vain. Exercising faith, there is a blessing to be obtained. We are encouraged, surely, to persevere in faith and the prayer of faith for the sick, those who may be grievously ill, and to believe that if it is the Lord's will, he shall raise them up. He shall restore them to health and strength. That often means a repeated petition. And faith is tried in that way. You make the request for a loved one who's sick and there's no improvement. What do you do? Do you give up? Well, no, you persevere. You continue. You go again and again and again to the Lord. We do so in submission to his will, recognizing that he is sovereign, recognizing that he knows best. But you continue in your prayer. And it may be that in time, the Lord answers you and grants the blessing and raises up the sick one, restores them. We are to continue in prayer, the prayer of faith, for the unconverted. They may be in our own families. They might be your sons and daughters. But there are certainly those who are laid upon our hearts. And our burden for them is that they would know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour. Through the Gospel, Jesus Christ speaks a talitha kumi to those who are dead in trespasses and sins. He speaks the equivalent of it by his Spirit in the Gospel. He reveals his power, his gracious power. And those who are dead in sin are made alive in himself. He called Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and he called him, and when he called him, Levi arose and followed him. That was divine power. That was one brought forth from spiritual death and given newness of life in Jesus Christ. That is our hope for the church. God's covenant, his promise to his believing people, that as they raise up their sons and daughters in the things of the Lord, train them up in the way that they should go, pray for them, show them a good and godly example. The Lord in his time will call his own to himself. Only God can make a Christian. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. New creatures in the Saviour. And we pray that the Lord would indeed speak this word when the gospel is preached in his own house. Oh, the lost generation, the countless number of the unconverted, those who are dead in their sin and dwelling in spiritual darkness, that the Lord would speak Talitha Kumi and raise them out of their death. And then you think of the last day, when Christ shall return from heaven in power and glory, and we shall all hear a mighty Talitha Kumi from the Lord. For when Christ returns to this world, the dead shall hear his voice, and the dead shall come forth from their graves. Christ spoke of this in John chapter 5. And these are remarkable words indeed. Verily, verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now that is Christ speaking through the gospel, speaking to sinners, bringing his own to himself. But then we also have another word. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. The same word. Come forth out of the grave, and all mankind shall then be present at the judgment seat of Christ. One resurrection, two contrasting outcomes. A resurrection unto honor and glory, a resurrection unto damnation. What have we heard from Christ? What have we heard from the lips of the Saviour in our experience? What can we say regarding the word that was spoken to the daughter of Jairus? Talitha Kumi, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Has there been that call? And have you come to a saving knowledge, to know and love Christ, to have the life of God in your soul, so that when you, at that last day, come forth from your grave, it will be with joy and rejoicing that now, body and soul, you are glorified together with your Saviour, and eternal life is your portion. May we learn from Jairus' faith and Jairus' reward. May God bless his word. Let us pray. O Lord, we seek thy blessing upon these things we have considered. Remarkable words from Christ and a remarkable event. One who was dead brought to life. May we know the spiritual resurrection, and therefore may we have hope in light of the coming resurrection unto judgment. Hear our prayers. Answer them graciously. For Jesus' sake. Amen.